Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line, giving you the winning edge, hour number two. I am Dane Martinez, the Spitting Statistician. I have me with me, as always, Kevin Walsh, the Candle Burner. Thanks for paying attention to us and joining the grid bright and early in the morning as we go into Championship Sunday, especially our newest audience and listeners on SiriusXM Channel 204. Kev, as we turn our attention to what many people believe is the main event, the AFC Championship game, let's get this out of the way to start. Obviously, the narrative here is around the availability of Patrick Mahomes. We all saw him go down in last week's effort, right? Looking all starry-eyed. Now, there's been a lot of reports in the concussion protocol. Maybe he just got choked out. But I also am, you know, slightly concerned about the toe. You know, even in the game when he had that toe, he was a little bit limping around. First, let's start with Mahomes here, Kev. I think you obviously think he is going to play. The question is, do you think he will be 100%, 90%, 50%, or does it not even matter to you?
So I don't know the percentage that I would put it at, but it is certainly nowhere near a number that gives me great concern. In fact, I would go as far as to say, when they post the Patrick Mahomes rushing total, I would be taking a look at the over. On that banged up toe, Mahomes had a 13-yard run for a first down, and the play that saw him leave the game was a designed run. And now it's had a week to heal. If the toe was that bad, then I don't think either of those two things would have happened. I am confident in Mahomes' health entering this football game.
Okay, fair enough. I know one thing you bring up when these two teams played earlier in the season, remember it is a rematch, just like the NFC game was a rematch. You bring up some of the rushing stats that the Chiefs had in that game, and yes, they did run on the Buffalo Bills. Remember, it was a little bit of an odd game, right? That weird scheduling. The Bills, I think, were coming off a Tuesday night football, then playing the Chiefs on Monday night football. It was, I believe, raining in that game as well. But part of what the Chiefs did was run. They toted the rock with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His availability is also up in the air, along with Sammy Watkins, along with Breshad Breeland and others. But what about our guy, Yo Mahomes to Helaire? Do you think he'll be ready? And will he be effective at implementing a big part of what their game plan was last time around?
Well, this is going to be the really interesting thing to see here. The FanDuel Sportsbook has CEH and Darrell Williams at plus 120 for anytime touchdown score. So the book kind of hedging their bets. And that's why I like that Rojo value that we talked about in our number one. They're not doing that. Here, they are. And if you'll notice, the anytime touchdown markets, they will post. But we only, from the Chiefs' perspective, we're dealing with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce props.
Right.
Because those are two big-name superstars, and they know that those boys are going to be available. There's also a Pat Mahomes alt passing yards that you can get involved with there. So is CEH going to be out there? It looks like the book is unsure of that. But if he is, it looks like they believe he will be the top dog for the Chiefs' ground game.
Yeah, you got to think that if Edwards-Helaire is back, hopefully he assumes that role right back. We've seen Lev Bell not be able to carry the mail, and he is now banged up. As we welcome in our radio audience from around the country, from around the globe, we appreciate and thanks for you getting up on the grid, getting the Winning Edge early with us, including our newest audience here, all of the listeners on SiriusXM Channel 204. We appreciate having you with us here on the Early Line, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. Let's get into this, though, Kev, because I gotta tell you something. I believe Buffalo can hang here, okay? The Buffalo Bills were the second highest scoring offense in the NFL. The Chiefs were like fifth. We've seen the ascension of Josh Allen becoming a, in your opinion, top three MVP candidate. It looks like they are getting better and better over time. It looks like to me they've gotten better since that first effort. Now, I know a lot of people talk about, oh, the Chiefs haven't covered any numbers, right? Since the damn Jets game, right? And okay, fine, but I believe the Chiefs will still be amazing. The question is, can they, like, flip a switch, or is Buffalo a legitimate test for them, especially on the offensive side of the ball?
So, I think the question you asked there is one that a lot of folks are asking. Can the Chiefs flip a switch?
Yeah.
I likely won't have enough time to dive all the way into this during this opening segment, but I'm going to make the argument to you that the switch was never off. That all of this Chiefs below standard play is wildly blown out of proportion because, and this is all of us right here dealing in the, and it's not just the gambling world, but it's this, they've not covered.
Right.
First of all, do better, people. I got Chiefs minus 2.5 against the Saints. So I don't even agree that they haven't covered since the Jets game.
Okay.
And everybody else is dealing out there with a push. I believe, and we're too close to break. I'll make the point here. The Chiefs have played much better football than people are leading, I think, everyone else to believe.
All right, and so that's what we will do on the other side of the break. We'll hear that argument that the Chiefs are playing just as good football, and they're kind of being consistent, and we'll wonder if Buffalo is also up to that standard. Let me give you something to think about in the interim, Kev. On Sunday, the Chiefs will be hosting their third straight AFC Championship game. They beat the Titans last year. They lost to the Pats the year before that. It is only the second time in NFL history that a team is hosting three straight championship games. Kev, be a good test taker and think, who is the other team? We'll talk about it on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Dane and Kev fundamentally putting the fun in functional sports content. And we had a trivia question for Kev, okay? The Kansas City Chiefs and all of our friends and partners out at LTN will be hosting the AFC Championship game for the third year in a row. They host, clearly, the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. They hosted the Tennessee Titans last year, and the year before that, they hosted in a game that, you remember, went to overtime, coin toss, offsides calls. You remember. They hosted the New England Patriots. They're only the second team ever to host three straight championship games. Kev, what was the other instance? Bonus points for the 3 years.
I mean, look, I'm not worried about the years. This is your fault if it's wrong. Is it the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, Kev.
Yo, that's on you! That's on
Kev,
you!
No. Kev, the answer is the 02-03-04 Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles, Kev, with Donovan McNabb going to three straight championship games, my friend.
I mean,
listen, if you were a test taker, maybe you could have got that one, but I digress.
How was that?
Before the break, you were saying that you think, you know, this idea idea that they haven't covered numbers, right, is kind of fool's gold. It's kind of a misnomer, especially something we talk about in the sports gambling world, right? And it's interesting because we've been talking about results and context for a long time, Kev. And I always say, survive in advance, style wins fight. Talk to me. Why have the Chiefs not fallen off at all?
So, the Chiefs during the regular season, five games against teams that went above 500, five of them. They won all five of those games. Every single one of them, by the way, was on the road. They won all of those games by a field goal or better. But the big thing that everybody is consumed by, right, is the against the spread number. Now, again, I'm marking it down as 3-2 against the number in those instances. But if you want to call it 2-2-1, so be it. Here is the simple thing that I bring to the table that has seemingly been ignored by everybody when talking about the, quote, struggling Chiefs. Five games. How many of the five games, Dane, did they have a lead in the fourth quarter that was double digits or more?
Those Chiefs? Probably none of them, because they were coming back all the time.
Wrong way. Every single one. Against every single team that they played, five of them, regular season, they had a double-digit lead. Not at some point in the game, not at halftime, not in the second half. In the fourth quarter, up double digits on all of them. And we're talking Ravens, Saints, the Bucs, the Dolphins, and the Buffalo Bills that meet those qualifications. They were getting backdoored. If you're betting the Bills plus three, in my opinion, what you're betting on is a backdoor push. Because that's what all of the evidence from this year's Kansas City Chiefs team is pointing us towards.
All right, fair enough. And personally, I'm waiting for hopefully Mahomes to be declared active and ready to go for it to go to 3.5. I am not looking at a backdoor. What about the idea? And I buy what you're saying, Kev, because I've always been saying, listen, if they don't cover, it doesn't matter. They get the win. Andy Reid and Patty Mahomes don't care about your teaser or your parlay. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with that. What about the argument that I think I'm going to make, that I think Buffalo is just at their level right now? I think they're just playing very well right now. They haven't lost. I think they won like 7 or 10 games in a row, right? Josh Allen, we have been talking about the big mistake. Now, don't get me wrong. If he makes the big mistake, this all goes out the window. But we haven't seen it just yet, even despite him trying at times, right? My thing is not, oh my goodness, we're seeing a less than Kansas City. I think that maybe we're seeing an under-respected Buffalo who is at that level, or at least is playing at that level. Kev, you once said that in Mahomes' 9 losses, you need 36 or more points. I think Josh Allen and these Buffalo Bills can just straight up put up mid-30s on Sunday without anything else, without Edwards-Helaire or, you know, Watkins or whatever. I believe Buffalo can get to that level. And for me, the toe, maybe one play that Mahomes doesn't make, I think this is going to be a close game where every inch, every play from these playmakers matter. I'm not looking at a back door. I'm looking at Buffalo being able to hang with an offense that looks just as dangerous, that has nasty weapons all over the place, and Josh Allen is ready to push it.
So I think, by the way, to me, that's the only way you can even get me to entertain this. Because the whole Chiefs can't cover
stuff. I just think they can hang.
So that's different.
Last team with the ball kind of thing.
And in my opinion, the Bills are not of that level. And the two things that I would say to you, one, have you been blown away by Buffalo this year in the postseason? I mean, like, that Colts thing.
I mean, the game against Baltimore was different, the weather and all that stuff. I think they had a hard-fought win against Indy. And that's the thing. I don't know that they have to impress. We're at the stage, man, where if they got more points than their opponents, they're in the Super Bowl. I don't care how it looks.
But it does matter when you're breaking down what they're going to do this week, right?
Okay, but the Chiefs didn't look impressive. The Browns had them within five.
There you go. So last year's Kansas City Chiefs, right, off the bye, divisional round, the Texans, their first three possessions, they punted on, right? And then they just kept flipping the switch. Mahomes, against the Browns, they didn't punt once when he was under center. Not one Patrick Mahomes-led possession. So they didn't even come out of sleep against the Browns. Like, that's why, to me, that does matter. Because you're right. The result, it matters, but that's in the past. Moving forward, the context, what sits in front of you, you better be impressed to think they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs or hang with the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. Because then otherwise you are betting on a backdoor. So for me, I don't think they're playing up the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, and what that game against the Browns was about to get ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. And then he left the game. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be ready to roll. And I'll add one more statistic here.
Yeah.
If we can remove that game against the Browns because he didn't finish the game, Patrick Mahomes has scored 31 or more points in every single playoff game. Their team total, 28.5. Love that to the over.
All right, fair enough. Any props you want to give out real quick, Kev? I'm telling you, my narrative here is around Josh Allen coming to play. The Bills don't have really the run game much anyway. We know Moss is down. Singletary is, you know, all back, right? And I think Josh Allen is going to do all of this, okay? So give it to me. And I understand that makes him prone to the mistake, but I think that's their only path to victory. Cut it loose, let it fly, and avoid the whammy, you know? So for me, I'm interested in Josh Allen over 302 passing yards. I'm also intrigued by the potential of a Josh Allen anytime touchdown via the ground game that I can get at plus 125. I think this is going to be him doing everything he can. It's almost like Russ cooking. This is going to be Josh Allen because I think they believe that's their only path to victory. We got about a minute left, Kev, real quick. You got any props in the AFC game you like?
Yeah, two things that I'm going to be looking at, but the number's not out yet. The Mahomes rushing yards, if they adjust for the toe, I'll play it over. He had a 13-yard run on that toe. I think he can still move. Also, Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown score, I think minus 130 is still fair value. Six touchdowns in his last five playoff games. Caught two touchdowns against these Buffalo Bills when they played in week 6.
No, absolutely. Listen, there's no shortage of playmakers, right? If you want to tell me Kelce or Hill or Diggs or whatever the case may be, it sounds viable. And don't get me wrong, even with the toe, the two mobile quarterbacks expending plays, making plays is still live in their props as well. When we come back, we go back to UFC 257. We are very excited to have ESPN's own Mark Ramondi join the show for a couple of minutes. We'll push him and take him to task. Is Khabib coming back? Is Conor going to win by knockout? Find out when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line and giving you the winning edge. I'm Dane Martinez, the Spin Statistician, and of course, Kevin Walsh, Candleburner. As always, big shout out to all of our audiences, including our newest audience, of course, on SiriusXM Channel 204. Thanks for getting up early and getting the winning edge with us. As we've been talking about, Kev, we've got UFC 257 going on, and quite frankly, there is nobody probably better to bring in right now than Mark Ramondi from ESPN, and so we do that now. Mark, thank you for coming on for a couple of minutes with us.
My pleasure to join you guys. I'm looking forward to this.
All right, absolutely. So listen, the first thing I got to ask you, and you know, Kevin is more of the MMA expert, but my junior handicap of this is a little bit concerned about Conor McGregor. I mean, the guy has only fought twice since the crazy, you know, maybe exhibition against Floyd Mayweather. And to me, I buy into the idea that he's got silk sheets in about 18 companies. Does he still want this anymore? I know you were deep in his training habits. You know, dispel my anxiety about this.
I think he does. I think he's actually in a really good place. And those questions are very warranted, Dane. I mean, there were periods of time over the last few years where Conor McGregor himself admitted that he was not all there. So, you know, psychologically, mentally, he was not really into training. One of his coaches, Colin Byrne, told me that he kind of fell in love. He felt out of love with the sport of mixed martial arts. And that was around the same time in the training camp for Khabib Nurmagomedov. But in the last 2+ years, he's really turned things around as far as his preparation. He's kind of got his head screwed back on straight, and he's fallen back in love with MMA. And that was the plan before the Don Cerrone fight last year. And of course, that fight finished in 40 seconds. So that was a very good outcome for what they thought, you know, for the plan they had in place. That was the perfect outcome, 40 seconds. And now he'll go into this fight with Dustin Poirier coming off of 10 weeks in Portugal, where his entire team went to a gym in Portugal that his coach Colin Byrne owns. And they were there for, you know, for more than 2 months, just the team and Connor working on cardio, working on MMA. And there was no one around. There were no fans. There was no distractions. And to me, that is a big key to the preparation for this fight and beyond.
So, Mark, you mentioned cardio, and with Connor, this is going to be a thing forever, unless he does what Amanda Nunes did in one of her more recent title fights, where she basically decided to go the distance to prove that she could. And I was watching some McGregor interviews saying, I wouldn't mind some rounds, which is so wild to me, like you're in there to fight, but it's like, maybe we'll get a couple extra rounds. And what do you kind of expect from Connor in terms of an approach? And I don't know if that's discrediting Dustin Poirier too much to almost even suggest he could name his round, but he's also called Mystic Mac for a reason. What are your thoughts on Connor's approach to this specific fight here with Poirier for the second time?
I think one of the most interesting things that I heard from his team leading into this fight is the comparison of Conor McGregor to kind of a sprinter. If we're gonna talk about track and field, McGregor gets his things done in explosive bursts, and he's so dangerous in the first round, half the second round, you know, going into the third, and then he kind of tapers off a little bit. He's not a distance runner. He's not a marathon runner to make a comparison. He is more of an explosive athlete who is extremely, you're in danger of getting knocked out with McGregor in the first, you know, 5 to 7 minutes into that fight. You have to weather that storm. And few people have been able to do that. The people that have been able to do that have been wrestlers normally, or someone like Nate Diaz, who you could call more of like a long distance runner. He's the kind of guy who kind of just settles in there and weathers the storm, and then the other guy gets tired. Nate Diaz is then all of a sudden at the same speed as the guy that got tired. And that's kind of what happened in the two fights against Conor McGregor with Nate Diaz. So I do think that the biggest thing that they have changed, and I've been told this by his team and his coaches, he has a better understanding now of how much output he can explode with and for how long, and then how long it takes him to recover in order to put that output out there again, and also his recovering in between rounds and how important that is. So it's more of like a disciplinary thing with him in the cage. There were times in many of his early fights that you could see it where he pretty much left it all out there in that first round. He went for absolute broke. That first Nate Diaz fight is a great example. And from everything that his team tells me, that is corrected, you know, as far as the mental stuff, that is corrected.
Hey, Mark, I want to get your thoughts on the co-main as well. Listen, Michael Chandler comes in looking, you know, incredible, dominant, albeit against a significantly different level of competition, in my opinion. He comes into this one and gets Dan Hooker. He comes in as a slight underdog. We are on a sports investment network here, and I like the plus money. Do you think there's a chance here for Chandler, or is a step up in class too big for him?
Oh, I mean, there is absolutely a chance for Chandler, no doubt about it. I mean, just because he was fighting in Bellator for all these years does not mean he was not one of the best lightweights in the world. I very much believe that he was. I mean, he held the Bellator title 3 different times. And if you want to look into comparisons, we're talking about Connor and track and field. How about an apples-to-apples comparison? Michael Chandler beat Eddie Alvarez, a guy that was the UFC lightweight champion, when Eddie Alvarez was still in his prime. I mean, when they were both in Bellator together. And you can make the argument that Michael Chandler is even better now than he was then, because now he's training down in Sanford MMA in Florida with Henry Hooft. He's got a great team over there, great training partners. They have the whole bells and whistles down there at Sanford MMA in South Florida. So I absolutely think that Chandler has a chance. And just anyone with his attributes, I mean, the guy's got cardio for days. He is a tremendous wrestler. Wrestled at Missouri with Ben Askren and Tyron Woodley, and has one-punch knockout power. So you put all those things together, and this is a guy that can really beat anyone in the division, in any organization.
Let me ask you, Mark, as you're continuing to follow these guys, do you think that Chandler or Hooker are feeling the moment? Sometimes that can be a positive thing, and it's not your typical McGregor card. There actually are going to be fans there, but you know it, you cover it. When Connor's in town, it's just a totally different ball game. The fact that also, and we'll talk more about this probably, but Dana put out there that Khabib is overseeing the fights to see if he's impressed by anyone. Do you feel like these two guys are feeling the moment slash the pressure of the situation?
It's hard to say for sure. I think that it's been a whole new environment for the UFC since last March, you know, since the pandemic, since coronavirus started, because these have not been your regularly attended fight weeks. There used to be a lot more hustle and bustle. You know, you're in Vegas, there was an open workout, you know, big, you know, crowd of fans at the casino, people stopping you wherever you go because, you know, it's Vegas, fight week, it's, you know, there's a big hullabaloo. There really hasn't been that in Vegas or Abu Dhabi, where the UFC has run all their shows, those two places, since last March, because there's just no fans around. This card will have fans, a few thousand at Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi, but the fans that are normally around and like all the hype during fight week, that doesn't exist. There's no open workouts. I mean, there were some fans at the press conference earlier today, or I should say on Thursday, but it's not the same as it was. So I think that if there were any worries about those guys filling the moment, I don't think that would even come into play. And I think both of them are ready for big fights. And Chandler has been in big fights, certainly never at this level where it's the UFC co-main event, pay-per-view, Conor McGregor. But these guys have been in big fights before. Hooker main evented against Dustin Poirier last year. That's not something that I'm overly concerned with either one of those guys.
Fair enough, Mark. You do mention the fans coming back. That means maybe I won't get to hear guys in the corner or even on commentary screaming their coaching, which was something I really did start to enjoy with no fans in the stands. I would be remiss, though, Mark, if we didn't ask you. You know, Kevin mentioned already about Khabib, right? So we hear from Dana White that he met with Khabib, and it's like, you know, if someone impresses him, he may be able to be lured. Personally, I don't believe it at all. I think the man made a promise to his mother, and I think he's going to honor it. What do you think? Is this just a lot of talk from Dana, or is it possible if Khabib is impressed, he could, want to go again with somebody here?
I agree with your gut on that one, Dana. I think that they had a nice meeting, Dana White and Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I think that Khabib Nurmagomedov said something along the lines of, like, you know, something. It would take something to get me back. And then Dana White.
That's all Dana needs.
Right. And then Dana White, being the incredible promoter that he is, then turned that around and said, well, you better watch next week at UFC 257 to see if any of those guys do that thing that Khabib said he needed to do. But look, I mean, Khabib has been very clear about this. He thinks that he's already finished his business with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. He finished them both. There's really no reason for him to fight either one of those guys in his mind. And he's not a guy that is as convinced by money as many others. He's already made a lot of money. He's done very well for himself. He lives extremely humbly in Dagestan with his family. He doesn't have a lavish lifestyle by any stretch of the imagination. Does like his watches, though, of course, from Jacob and Company. That's neither here nor there. But I do think that Khabib Nurmagomedov comes back at some point, but I don't think anytime soon. I think we're talking about, you know, maybe next year, the year after. If something really big presents itself that makes sense for Khabib to come back. And I keep saying GSP, George St. Pierre, although it seems like that is no longer kind of in play, but something like that. It would need to be a legends fight, something that really, really motivates him to get back in there to go for 30, you know.
So that's so fascinating to me. And GSP certainly seems like it checks that box. But, I mean, let's be honest here. The biggest star the sport has ever known goes out there and puts it on Dustin Poirier in spectacular fashion. And you just alluded to it earlier here when we were talking about Connor's mindset maybe not being right. And I guess to each his own, maybe some won't believe it, but I'll trust you and McGregor when they talk about how he entered that go-around. I mean, I know I want to see it again. You mean to tell me, though, that Khabib really will never bite here at a McGregor rematch?
Look, I'll never say never when it comes to the UFC. I mean, McGregor has retired three times already in the last 4 years. So I'll never say never. I'll never close the door on any of those possibilities happening. But I really feel like Khabib has always been a man of his word, right? I mean, there's one thing that you can say about him in addition to being obviously an incredible fighter, one of the best of all time, when he says something, he usually stands by it. And he has said that he really has no incentive and he has no motivation right now to take a fight. Now, if McGregor beats Poirier and maybe he wins the title in his next fight and he's the champion for a few months, a year, maybe then Habib could say, well, hold on, I beat this guy. I'm just going to go back and beat him and get my title back. Could that happen? Of course, absolutely. That's definitely not out of play, but I just don't see it again happening anytime here in the near future.
All right, well, I will turn my attention in the more longer view of it. Our guy, Mark, thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us. You'll be covering it definitely for ESPN. We've got this on lock, McGregor and Poirier, tomorrow night.
The Morning After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
And our next guest, you've seen her around, it is Erin Dolan, and we appreciate you stopping by for a couple of minutes, something that's going to be a lot longer than a couple of minutes. How you doing this morning, Erin?
I'm good. Thank you for that exciting introduction. Yeah, you'll be seeing me for 2 hours. I'm excited to become a host with Kevin, so I'm excited to also talk to you guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel something like kind of like a Jamaican sprinter on the 4x100 relay team, because if you haven't heard so far, yes, Erin will be doing the darn thing, cock-a-doodle doing it Monday through Friday, every morning from 7 to 9 a.m. here with Kevin Walsh. Don't get worried. If you want more of the spitting statistician, he'll still be around. I'm just, you know, we'll be taking the night shift. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Erin, let's get into this weekend. We've got big time action. I want to first ask you your thoughts on the AFC Championship game. As you know, the storyline is obviously Patrick Mahomes. Did he have a concussion? Did he get choked out? Will he be okay? Fundamentally, Erin, I think he will play. The question for me is, will he be compromised at all? Not only the head injury, but the toe that he is working with here. What do you think about Mahomes? And ultimately, do you think his health or availability impacts your handicap on this game?
Yes, for sure. Of course it does. I'm definitely going with Bills plus +3. I think that line's completely going to shift when we find out if Patrick Mahomes is playing. I think he will play, but against a banged up quarterback. I think Josh Allen is going to be excellent. The home team in the AFC Championship game has won 12 of the past 14 games, so that's in favor of Patrick Mahomes. But the last time the Bills made it to the Super Bowl, they did it by beating the Chiefs in the AFC title game. The Bills are great against the spread. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have not covered since November 1st against the Jets. I'm going with Josh Allen. He's playing like the MVP. Going against a banged up Mahomes, he's still in concussion protocol. But to me, this isn't a matter of if Mahomes plays, we're taking the Bills. If Mahomes plays, we're taking the Chiefs. If he doesn't, we're taking the Bills. I was going to take the Bills either way in this. I think they are totally underestimated, and going against, you know, the Chiefs, I think they can get it done.
Erin, I'm curious. You mentioned some of the against the spread numbers. One of the games the Chiefs did win and cover was against the Buffalo Bills. How much, if at all, do you value that first meeting between these two teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first meeting, the Bills played well against the Chiefs. It was in a rescheduled game. But then the Bills went on to win 11 or 12 games since then, with their only loss being to the Cardinals with a Hail Mary pass. I value that game, but again, it was a long time ago. And the Bills now, they were averaging 26 points per game through the first 6 weeks. And then after that, they ramped up to 34.5 in their last 10 games. So I think the Bills are a totally different team. I think the Chiefs, meanwhile, are a little more banged up than they were in that first matchup.
Yeah, Erin, I'm with you. I do think the Chiefs are a little bit banged up. Everybody's talking about Mahomes and the potential head or neck injury, but they're forgetting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was huge in that first game against Buffalo. Bashaud Breeland, yeah. Sammy Watkins, they are not completely 100%. I'm with you. I have a lean to the Buffalo side. However, I'm waiting, because I think once Patty Mahomes gets declared, I will think that line might move to 3.5. If you like it at 3, you might love it at 3.5. Let's go over to the other game, though, the NFC game. I've been telling everybody, Aaron, that I think Aaron Rodgers must smell like Teen Spirit because he has reached nirvana. He is playing at a level that we haven't seen in a long time, even for Aaron Rodgers. This Packers offense has 48 passing touchdowns in the regular season, only 46 punts, and you can see it kind of in his demeanor. He knows he's performing at another level. Do you think Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers continue to roll with that number one offense in the NFL at Lambeau Field all the way to Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a hot take here. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 29-5 since 2009 in home games played in December or January, and a 5 seed has never beaten a 1 seed in the NFL playoffs, not to mention the Bucks are 1-17 all-time in the freezing cold. So it looks bright for the Packers, but for Brady, over the course of his 21-year career, he has made the Super Bowl in every season where he's lost in Week 1. And let me remind you, he lost to the Saints in Week 1, and then they rebounded to go 11-4 of their final 15 games. But we don't make bets off of, you know, these fun stats. But I said last week, you don't bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs. So I'm going with the Bucks money line here, which is a hot take, and I also like the over in this game.
I like to hear that the over. I like Green Bay, but I will ask you, and I'm trying to figure out how much to put value on this game being in Lambeau. I think you actually might have been one of the first people I heard mention the fact that this is Rodgers' first time hosting the NFC Championship.
Yep.
I still feel like that can't be true, but I know that it is true. How much does the location of this football game, because that first meeting was at Raymond James Stadium, how much does the location matter here for you?
I think the location absolutely matters. I factored that into the divisional round, and that worked out for me for the Packers and the Bills. Tom Brady played in the cold for so long that I'm not worried about him. Yes, the team, you know, being down in Florida and practicing and everything in that kind of weather, it's going to be hard for the team. But I think people are forgetting. Everyone's like, Tom Brady, you know, from Florida. No, he played in New England for so long. I'm not worried about him going into the cold. It's sad, but I just don't trust the Packers in the playoffs, even after last game. It's just, in my mind, they're like the Saints to me, where I don't want to bet them in the playoffs. So I'm going with Tom Brady.
Fair enough. This is Dane Martinez, Kevin Walsh, and Aaron Kate Dolan here on the early line. Big shout out to everybody who's listening and watching, getting the Wing Edge here on Sports Grid, especially our newest partners on SiriusXM Channel 204. Here's the deal, Aaron. You know, we are like passing the baton. You will be talking, Kev, every morning, 7 to 9 a.m., and there is no shortage of things to talk about, especially because I know both of you guys are Philly fanatics. I see a Philadelphia Eagles helmet right by you. I know you guys, you know, have been going back and forth with the drama this year, and the Eagles have added to the narrative by hiring Nick Sirianni as their head coach. This is a guy who's been under Frank Reich for a lot of times with the Chargers in Indianapolis as well. And for a little while, in my opinion, Aaron, the Eagles have been sort of trying to get that, you know, Frank Reich magic back. He was with the staff when they went to the Super Bowl, and then he moved on to Indianapolis. Doug Peterson is now gone, and it is Nick Sirianni. Ooh, Nick Sirianni, that is now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. What's your early reaction to the Eagles hire?
My early reaction is I find this very interesting. I feel like this pick was honestly to cater to Carson Wentz, which honestly is just, I'm not a Wentz fan. Maybe that I'm a little biased in my thoughts here. But let's go back. The relationship between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz was, quote, fractured beyond repair. Mm-hmm. They fired Doug Peterson, so we're expecting Wentz to, you know, request a trade. It makes sense to go to Indy because Philip Rivers was on a one-year contract, and like you said, he had a good rapport with Frank Wright. Off the bat, this hire to me screams the Eagles are choosing Wentz. They believe in him. The Birds have a four-year, $128 million contract with him. This just screams that we are willing to cater to Carson Wentz's needs, and ironically for Wentz, Sirianni spent the bulk of his career with the Chargers, was Frank Wright's right-hand man. They actually spent 6 years of their coaching career together. So the connection clearly is significant for Wentz, who has a great deal of trust in Frank Wright. But while this is an ideal situation for him, for the team, I'd like to say that I trust Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, but I don't. And when Peterson was fired, I kind of felt like fingers were being pointed when the Eagles really should have taken a step back and looked in the mirror. Eventually, the chickens come home to roost. I'm not saying firing Peterson was wrong. I'm not saying Nick Sirianni was the wrong candidate either. I'm just saying that this organization from the top down needs to be evaluated. And I hope Nick Sirianni comes in and is ready to win this locker room back, because Doug Peterson lost it. Carson Wentz lost it from all the things I've read about his alleged prima donna personality. The team definitely needs camaraderie, and hopefully, you know, they can have that going with Nick. But he kind of has an out in his first year, because it will be, oh, it's Sirianni's first year. I hope the Eagles do well. I want them to do well. I hope he excels as the head coach. I just think from the top down, there are still issues that remain on the Eagles.
Oh, man. You know, it's this thing, like, when you get to talk about your favorite team, it's supposed to be great.
Kevin, wait. You had me talking about the Jets all season long. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I had literally everybody on this network
but you
being like,
they
sorry,
were
Dane.
Sting.
Sorry, Dane. Sorry,
yeah,
Dane.
Yeah, but you know that the Jets suck. You know what I mean? Like, Everyone knows this. When the Eagles are expected to do well and they actually are this bad.
Absolutely. Disappointment is a function of expectation. You guys had higher expectations. I completely
understand
that.
We went to minus money to win the division.
Well,
we were supposed to be good.
Everybody in that division was minus money.
Yeah, but we were the longest.
Let me ask you this. And once again, Aaron, congratulations on joining us, like, you know, fully and be hosting the Early Line. I have a question for both of you. Kevin, I ask you first, brother man. Starting on Monday, who will be handling the mental math on the show, Kev? Because, you know, this was a role that I had, you know, with the stats and the data. I don't know about the background, but Kev, how are you guys going to break up that division of labor, brother man?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Aaron, I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun, but, you know, there's a lot to deal with here. I'm going to get stressed out. You see this. I'm having a breakdown right now. Also, math, that's why I've gone pencil to paper here. Dane, like, former math teacher, crushes it. Hopefully you're good at math. Otherwise, we're going to give people maybe some wrong information. It's not intentional, but quick math is not the easiest thing.
You ready for
all this, I'm a communications major, clearly. I'm a broadcast journalism major, so I wasn't in the math classes. That wasn't my thing. But we'll work on it. It'll be fine.
All right, fair enough. I have one other thing you're going to need to know, because the very first thing that's going to happen, you're going to be on Monday morning hosting the Early Line. Kevin is either going to be very, very happy and excited, or he's going to be on the wrong side of the bed. And I'm going to let you know right now, Aaron, what this is all about is on if Mr. Conor McGregor wins on Saturday night or not. Kev, why don't you let her know so she could be ready for you
knows.
What you're expecting to do Saturday night with Conor?
No, she knows. Aaron, what are your thoughts?
I already
on
know.
Conor
we already
today?
Argued about this. Me and Kevin actually are opposites on
Kevin's
almost
talking
everything,
about coming in with
so.
The Irish flag on this show. So, you know where he stands. What do you think, Aaron?
I actually am taking Dustin Poirier in this. I made a video yesterday about this. I'm going with the underdog here. I'm not going to bet Conor McGregor at -3 to win. It's just not going to happen. And I'm sick and tired of him coming in and out of retirement. It's pick one or the other. It's his third. He's coming out of his third retirement.
I don't know if I'm with you. For me, it's a little bit of a pass, because I just think I can't bet Conor at that number. He started at something like -170. It's steamed all the way now to more than $3. You know, it's just not a way for me. We had some guests on earlier in the show who were saying maybe Conor by knockout might be a way to shave off a little of that value. But you guys will be able to talk about it next week and in the weeks to come. Thank you so much, Aaron, for taking kind of over my job and for joining us for the last couple of minutes. Have a great weekend, and then we will see you here bright and early Monday morning, 7 a.m., right here on Sports Grid, giving everybody the winning edge on the Early Line. Thanks again, Aaron.
Thanks, guys, and I'm excited. And Kevin, just gear up for Monday.
Oh, boy, Kev, we tie a nice, neat little bow on this episode and this week of the Early Line when we come back. Final words and thoughts when we come back. It'd be great to have Aaron on moving forward right here, giving you the winning edge.
To be honest.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the early line. Dane Martinez, Kevin Walsh, and it's almost like, you know, this is your life, full circle. Again, we congratulate and thank Erin K. Dolan on Monday. She will start be putting the fun and functional sports content right here in the early line. But unbeknownst to me, we have a special guest to keep it going full circle, Mr. Joe Ranieri. How you doing, brother man? Welcome back to the early line.
What happens? I go away for a couple of months, and everything hits the fan here now. Now you're leaving. You're go. Yeah. This was our baby. We started this thing moons
sure
ago,
was.
And then it's
That's
all.
That's when I talked to you.
Now.
I was still a single man. I think, brother man. I've had a whole year of quarantine newlywed action that has been very interesting. What have you been doing, brother man? What have you been doing?
Sleeping.
Just like, you know. Okay, right, because we don't get to do that. What do you think about these games, bro? I think Aaron Rodgers cannot be stopped right now, but I think the Bills have a chance.
You know this, Dane. I live with a member of the Bills Mafia, so if I even bring up Mahomes or Kansas City, yep. I'm sleeping at the curb. So I try to avoid that conversation at all, but I do happen to like the Buffalo Bills in this matchup against Kansas City, but I'm betting them in a two-team parlay. I'm going to bet them this weekend. I'm going to leave that spot open to see whether or not they're playing Green Bay or Tampa. It's still going to be 3-1 to the money. So give me Buffalo. Leave that spot open and then see exactly who it is they're going to play, because whoever they're playing, whether it's Tampa or Green Bay, they're going to be a dog in that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Go ahead, Kev. Yep. What you got, brother man?
Don't throw it at me. This has nothing to do with me. It's just pumped. Look, I'll just quickly say, Dane, you're the absolute best. Joe, I appreciate you catching up on sleep and allowing me to fill into this slot here. You're both excellent. We're all going to keep working together, so it's not going to be some overly emotional hoopla, but you both rule. You're the best, and we're going to keep doing
not
it here.
A funeral, Martinez. Good
for
God.
Sure. Listen, I'm going to be right here. The spitting statistician will always be here to help you win your leagues and win that cash for Brian, Steve, LTN, and James. Thanks, everybody. The Morning After is up next.
Since you were a little kid, you've always loved sports.
So have we.
One of us. One of us. One of us. This.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.